This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm happy to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Wendy Johnson. She's medical director at La Familia Medical Center. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks. It's good to be here again.
Always good to have you. Now, next week is National Health Center Week. What does that mean? Health center, that's a specific kind of medical clinic?
Yeah, about, it's actually the 50-year anniversary of the creation of the first, community health centers. It's a really great story. A guy named Jack Geiger, who was a physician, was one of the founders of this movement, and it is really a movement. And Jack was a very activist physician. He was very activist in the civil rights movement. And as a medical student, he had gone to South Africa in the 1950s and worked in a very revolutionary clinic there that was run by Stanley and Emily Kark were their names, and they had created a clinic where it wasn't just about the medical care, it was also about addressing what we now call the social determinants of health. All those things that are really much more important than medical care to whether or not you or I are healthy people, which include, do we have housing? Do we have clean water? Do we have, are we living in poverty? Do we have education? Do we have those kinds of things? And so the Kark's Clinic in South Africa was one of the first to really pioneer this idea of community-oriented primary care. They coined that name. And Jack came back and brought those ideas to the United States. So he worked with Sergeant Shriver during the War on Poverty and really part of the Civil Rights Movement as well to bring this concept to the United States. And the first clinics were in Boston, in inner city Boston, and also in the Mississippi Delta. And he opened those clinics, and there's a great documentary you can look at online called Out in the Rural about the Mississippi Delta Clinic. And they had the clinic, of course. They did home visits. They eventually started a community farm as part of the clinic because people didn't have access to food. They didn't have access to employment. And that was seen as a health initiative.
That's so interesting because when you talk about, questions of poverty and clean water, those are things that clinics in themselves can't provide. They can maybe advocate for them. But here's a clinic that actually starts providing good food.
Right. And La Familia comes from that tradition. And what we have programs at La Familia that do that today. We have programs that provide through a grant from the USDA and a collaboration with the Santa Fe Community Foundation and the MoGro mobile grocery store business in town. We provide low-cost food baskets for patients that are on SNAP benefits, and they get a $20 food basket for just $10 of SNAP benefits, for example. And there's a lot of things that we do at La Familia in that vein. We have community gardens. We promote community gardens to our patients. We have cooking classes and those kinds of things to help people learn how to eat healthier and be able to respond to their environment. We have a lot of food deserts here in Santa Fe. People have a hard time getting healthy foods. So what can we do as a clinic to respond to that needs?
Now, do you as a clinic and do you as a doctor see people getting better as a result of those kinds of initiatives?
Yeah, we have a lot of success stories, a lot of people who, it's one thing when you go to your family physician and they say, oh, you need to eat 5 servings of vegetables a day and you need to eat,
And no one on this green earth has ever defined what a serving is.
Right, exactly. And so they give you a lot of nebulous information, don't really ask necessarily anything about, well, where do you live and where's the nearest grocery store and how many hours a day do you work and do you have a car? All those things are super important. Do you have access? Do you have the ability to even follow these instructions? And so what we do as a clinic is try to not only give people the recommendations, but also try to address some of those environmental barriers and give people access to those kinds of things, both food and physical activity, too.
Our medical system in general does not reward prevention. And, I mean, people who are specialists get paid way more than people who do primary care.
Right.
And clinics like yours are underfunded, whereas a dialysis clinic or a plastic surgery clinic is doing great. What, if anything, can be done to
change that trend?
Well, for one thing, I just want to talk a little bit about the role that the National Community Health Center movement has had in addressing that. So I think they're really the only, they're the largest, if you call it a network of health clinics, it's the largest network of health clinics in the country. 23 million people get their care in health centers. In Santa Fe, we have two. We have La Familia, and we also have Presbyterian Medical Services. Presbyterian provides a lot of the school-based health at Capital and Santa Fe High, also at the IAIA, I think, and there's another, at Santa Fe University, too. So, and they also do a lot of Head Start programs. They do a lot of behavioral health, and they do some primary care. La Familia really is more focused on primary care. And so there's federal government programs that fund us, and they fund us based on the concept that we are going to carry out this idea of the community health center, which is provide primary care, provide access to all those that need it, even if they're not insured, and we still have a lot of uninsured in our community, and also pay attention to these social determinants of health and work in the community, basically. Be agents of change in the community to create a culture of health. So funding for this movement, we have 15 health centers in New Mexico. So funding for this movement is a super important part of the problem. But it's really difficult because you talk about prevention, and I would say it's not just prevention, it's prevention and also primary care. Are you struggling to find, you know, are you going to a neurologist for your headaches and a gastroenterologist for your stomach pain, and nobody's talking to each other, nobody's coordinating that, nobody's looking at what everyone's giving you as far as medications, nobody's looking at the whole picture. That's what primary care really does, and the whole picture, including your environment, not just you as a person and your medical issues, but your behavioral health issues, your family, your community, all of that. So we're really lucky to have two of those here in Santa Fe, but it's still very difficult. We have a shortage of primary care doctors. That shortage is going to get a lot worse in the next few years.
Why is that?
Well, even though the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, made some provisions to encourage and fund primary care, and even though the community health center's funding did get renewed this year, it's always under threat. And still, primary care doctors get paid a fraction of what other doctors get paid. You know, a doctor.
That's so unfair.
It is unfair.
It's ridiculous.
Well, especially it just doesn't make sense if we want to create a healthy nation, a healthy community. You know, other countries that emphasize primary care have much better health indicators than the United States. So, unfortunately, it has to do really with the hospitals and the specialists controlling a lot, the insurance companies even controlling a lot of what happens in Washington around health reform. It has to do with Medicaid reimbursement. And once you start paying people a lot of money, you got to, if you want to pay other people and get equity, you got to get that money from somewhere. So there's a lot of struggle in Washington over who gets what piece of the pie. And historically, primary care doctors have gotten a lot less piece of the pie. So if we want a bigger piece of the pie, that has to come out of somewhere.
One thing that I don't totally understand is you would think that insurance companies who are in the business of raking in as much money as possible and giving out as little money as possible would want to prevent illness.
Yeah, but the problem with prevention is that they have to now. One nice thing about the Affordable Care Act is that all insurance plans have to provide preventive services for free, basically, to the patient. So there's no copay for preventive services, and everybody should be able to get their mammograms and their pap smears and, you know, annual cholesterol screens that are indicated, all that kind of stuff for free. Who's insured? But the problem with a lot of prevention and the reason why insurance companies are reluctant to pay for them is the payoff for that prevention may come 10, 20, 30 years ahead. And so who knows if I'm going to be your insurance company in 20 years. I don't really know that I'm going to reap that benefit. It only makes sense if everybody's forced to do it. And that's what the Affordable Care Act took a step towards doing.
Right, right. We're talking to Wendy Johnson, Medical Director at La Familia Medical Center. Tell us about La Familia and how it started and when. It's been around for quite a while.
We've been around for, I think it's 40, almost 45 years now. So the National Health Center movement is 50 years old, and La Familia is pretty close to almost that old. We started at the very beginnings. It was sort of a one-room operation when it first started. A lot of very well-known activist physicians in the world had their start at La Familia here in Santa Fe, actually. And we have some providers like Dr. Neil Devitt, Dr. Sue Katz, Dr. Gary Giblin, who have been working at the clinic for 25 to 30 years, those folks. So there's a very, and it's the only kind of community owned, because we're required to be community owned. It's the only community owned health center in Santa Fe. And I would say,
what does community ownership mean?
Well, the legislation that established the community health centers required the health centers to be nonprofit, of course, but also to have a board that consisted of at least 51% of our patients. The idea is our board should look like our patient population and should be drawn from our patient population, and the patients should basically own the health center, should have the oversight over the decision making at the health center, so it stays rooted in the community. And so that's built into the concept as Jack Geiger pioneered it in the Mississippi Delta, and that's been a continual part of the legislation. So we have to do that, and for 40 years we have been community-owned by our community board and nonprofit. We do about a third of the deliveries that happen at St. Vincent's are done by our providers. We do full-service family practice, which includes obstetrical care, it includes behavioral health, it includes programs to address obesity, diabetes education, wellness, OB education, and primary care and dental services. We also oversee healthcare for the homeless in Santa Fe.
Now, this is an incredible service for Santa Fe, and a lot of people who could not otherwise afford healthcare are able to afford healthcare and have been for a while. Do you have people coming in from other parts of New Mexico to use your services?
Well, we're lucky in New Mexico. We do have 15 community health centers in the state. So there's El Centro in Española. There's several in Albuquerque. PMS runs the Ortiz Mountain Clinic, which is in Cerrillo. So we have a number of community clinics in the area. But yeah, we do sometimes see people coming from as far as north, Ojo Caliente. There are some services that La Familia offers that aren't offered, that don't have a lot of availability, like our medically assisted drug treatment programs, for example. So there are some services that we offer that people have a hard time getting into in other places. So we do get people that sometimes come from far away.
You mentioned a moment ago that there's still quite a lot of uninsured people. How has the Affordable Care Act affected that and not?
Well, it's been huge. And another, you know, I have to say I'm very, very grateful that New Mexico is one state that didn't decide to go with the rest of a lot of the Republican governors and did decide to expand Medicaid. So that was super important for our state and the well-being of people in our state. We started out before, La Familia itself started out before Obamacare, 70% of our patients were uninsured. And now it's down to about 40%. So that's been huge.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And that presumably helps the bottom line of the clinic.
Yeah, it does help the bottom line. For sure it does. You know, we get a federal grant that pays us to take care of those uninsured. We get Medicaid reimbursements to take care of the Medicaid. But we also provide we provide services based on what the community needs. Sometimes that's not really financially very smart for us. For example, we provide what's called long-acting contraceptives, like implantable contraceptives and IUDs and that kind of thing. And the evolution of those has sort of gotten beyond what the billing for FQHCs is. So we actually lose a lot of money providing those services, about $50,000 last year. So we really provide services based on what the community needs, and we have a commitment to take care of the uninsured. So you know, even though it is good for our bottom line, we really look at what does the community need when we decide what services we're offering.
That's such an interesting thing. I mean, it's kind of an aside to what we're talking about, but when you have technology that gets ahead of what the rules are, what the laws are, what the reimbursement schedules are.
Yeah, another place that that's happened is the Hep C treatment. You know, we have really good Hep C treatment now, drugs that are very easy to take, don't have a lot of side effects. Problem is, a course of treatment can cost close to $100,000 per person. There was just an article the other day in the New Mexican about, I think it said that if we treated everybody with hepatitis C, it would cost Medicaid about $140 million. So that's another example. You know, there's always tension between drug companies and insurance companies about cost and payment.
Now, what about the cost of not treating it? I mean, isn't that the other side of it? Like any disease. I mean, the cost of not, or contraceptives, the cost of not doing contraceptives is somebody, you know, delivery, prenatal, postnatal.
Right. You know, there's a cost that you can't calculate, which is the cost of well-being and happiness and healthiness. So sometimes those cost-benefit analyses can really show you the whole picture, but sometimes they can't. And probably with the cost of the contraceptives, that's true. I've seen cost-benefit analysis that shows exactly what you say, that the cost to society, if you really add in all the costs, is much higher. But some things, like Hep C, you know, it's morbid, but if people with Hep C die and aren't a lot around to get other illnesses, I don't know how the cost-benefit analysis is. That's not me. I'm not a health economist. But I'm just saying sometimes, even if the cost-benefit analysis doesn't make sense, I think there's still a moral argument for providing some of these treatments and medications.
Now, you talked earlier about the shortage of primary care providers, and that's not only doctors, but also nurse practitioners and other people. And that's true all over New Mexico. It's true, especially in rural New Mexico, I think. What is being done? What can be done? If you could wave your magic wand, what should be done to improve that situation?
Well, I think the first thing is training and the way we train primary care doctors. You know, the number of training slots we have. It's a sticky issue because we do need to train more medical students. We do need to train them in primary care. You can talk to any family practitioner around. I went to Ohio State University, but, you know, even still at UNM that emphasizes primary care, when you're going through your medical school training, you go on a rotation with the surgeons, and you tell them you want to be a family practitioner, and they'll say, oh, why do you want to do something like that, and throw away your career, and, you know, or you're too smart to be in family practice, or you... things like that. And comments like that, medical education is still very tilted towards specialty care. So really, we're trying to shift that a little bit, but it's very hard. It's very ingrained in the culture of medicine, I think, in a lot of places. And then the other thing is how lucrative it is. And, you know, it's very difficult, especially working with the underserved population. That's even less lucrative than just right, a private practice primary care. So overall, if we really want to change it, we have to change the way medicine is practiced and the way it's compensated in the United States. And we don't want to spend more money on our healthcare system because our healthcare system is already really expensive. So it's really hard to take money away from some people and give it to other people to create more equity. We see all the problems around talking about minimum wage and living wage. Same thing. We're taking money away from some people to give it to other people to create more equity. And, you know, it's a very difficult political fight. So, but I think that is ultimately what has to happen.
So what happens next week during National Health Center Week?
Well, we're having some events at our health center and hopefully have some letters to the editor and the Mexican and that kind of thing, mostly for our staff. It's just a week of awareness so that people know this story and know that this resource exists in the community. If people want to come and tour or see La Familia, they can give us a call, ask to talk to our development director, and her name is Gloria Martinez, and come in and schedule a tour. But, you know, we are accepting new patients all the time also, and I think we have some of the highest, best quality care in Santa Fe. We have a lot of good doctors in Santa Fe, but our doctors have been here a long time, and they're very high quality.
Wendy Johnson is medical director at La Familia Medical Center. They're on the web at lafamiliasf.org. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. It's always fun to be here.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.